Good morning. Good morning. So have you enjoyed Live and Let Die?
Yes.
Are you James Bond fans?
Yes.
A few. Yeah, I really like Daniel Craig as James Bond. I was not a fan of Pierce Brosnan. Anybody like him? Yeah. Yeah, you liked him, Nadia? I don't know. He wasn't that great. Well, as we finish this series today... Is that terrible? Am I a movie critic? I don't know. Sorry. Anyway, Daniel Craig, though, really good. Really good. as we finish the series this morning, last week, Pastor asked me if I would close it out. I think it's been an amazing series, and one that, for a while, we probably need to let it just marinate in our hearts and consider each week. It was kind of a deep series, a lot to think about as we let things in our lives die that are not good, but we help things in our lives grow that are good. So I want to talk to you for just a minute about letting things die and helping things grow. There's this saying that what you feed grows, I think we have it on the screen, and what you starve dies. Now, I know a lot about dying in the plant realm. If you are a plant and you come to live at the Norman household, it's sort of like a death sentence, basically. Sometimes it happens fast, sometimes it's slow and painful. For this one, as you can see, it's on its last leg. It's been with us a couple of months, so it did well. And, you know, when I feed it, when I'm paying attention to it, when I'm watering it, it does great. It grows and grows. But then I get, you know, preoccupied. I ignore it. Lazy maybe I get. Then Pastor will come along and he'll water it a little bit, but eventually he gets preoccupied too. And so sure enough, it's gonna look like this. I think this one has a good 3 weeks in it, and then it'll be done. It'll be done with. And so I think you can see how things in our lives are very similar to that. That when we're paying attention to it, when we're feeding it, it's growing. So what did we talk about the first week? Bitterness. Well, when we're feeding our bitterness, when we're thinking about our bitterness, and we're letting that bitterness be the focus of our attention, it grows. And forgiveness, it's starving, it's dying. But if we focus on forgiveness and we let it grow, then bitterness will die. We also talked about lust and coveting and contentment, letting the contentment grow. Last week was probably the heaviest in that we talked about judgment and grace. How important it is that we want to let judgment die in our lives. We don't want to feed it. We don't want to pour into judgment. Instead, we want to pour into grace and be full of grace and mercy. So I think it's pretty easy to see how we can let these things live or either die in our lives. This saying here, it's been around for a long time, but this guy, Crandall Miller, he kind of added to it, and I love it. It says, what you feed grows, what you starve dies. You never satisfy anything by feeding it. You simply increase its capacity for growth. That's powerful. You never satisfy anything by feeding it. You simply increase its capacity for growth. Really, frankly, that's what's wrong with plants of all kind. You can't just feed it and water it one time. No, it wants more and more and more, you know? So I feed it, I water it, it grows. But then I gotta feed and water it some more, and it grows some more. Well, when it's a good thing, then that's awesome because it's growing. Good things are growing in your life. And so if you starve it, it will die. Well, our main text this morning is gonna be found in the book of Philippians. So every text that we're going to look at today, and we're going to look at several different scripture verses in the Bible, are going to be written by this guy named Paul. So Paul wrote most of the New Testament. So in the Bible, we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. And Paul, he wrote most of the New Testament. And something that's really neat about Paul is that he didn't always grow up believing in Jesus. And so we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but we're going to focus right now on Philippians 3:12. Paul says this, "Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of." So he says, not that I've already obtained these other things. Yeah, we talked the last 3 weeks about something else. Okay, well, we're not there yet. We haven't conquered the whole bitterness, forgiveness thing. We haven't completely conquered it. We're still working on it. So he hasn't been made perfect yet, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. So I kind of think that end part is funny. He's like, if you don't believe this, you will soon enough. God's going to help you out on that. But notice that Paul starts the second part of this verse with "but one thing I do." So this is being put in context of something that he's already doing. He's already doing. But this particular revelation, this revelation of not looking back, is one that you really have to stay on top of. You see, it's easy to start falling back on the things that may have happened in your past. And those things can be good or those things can be bad. But suddenly we use them as an excuse, or we use it to justify our current actions, and we don't move forward. And Paul really begins to put everything in proper perspective at the end of this verse when he tells you what he's pressing forward to. He's pressing forward to the upward call of God. You see, the bottom line is that God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us in here. And truly, it's an amazing plan. Maybe it's not for you to go to Oman, but God has great things for you to do. And when we're stuck in the past, when we're constantly looking back, we can't fully embrace that plan that God has for us. Now, this isn't the difference between heaven or hell. I mean, you're going to make it if you're stuck in the past. You're going to survive. But you're not going to thrive. You're not going to have the joy and the passion, and you're not going to fully embrace what God has for you. And so this is a basic principle that all of us have to get a hold of so that we can move forward. Now, some of us, we carry lighter loads than others of us, but it's baggage. Either way, when you let the past take hold of you, it's baggage. Now, I have this backpack, and I have a picture of this kid who has, look at this backpack. Now, there's some good stuff in this backpack, but this kid cannot even move forward because he has all this stuff in his backpack. This is the backpack I took with me when we hiked up Mount Democrat. That's a 14er. And so, before we headed up the mountain, I put as little as possible in here that I had to. I mean, water, okay, so that was like a big deal. A lot of water, some goos, you know, some granola, whatnot. But I wasn't going to put anything extra in here to carry up the mountain. But some of us, we stick things from our past in here, and it's like the heaviest thing in the world that we're carrying around with us. Can you imagine hiking up the mountain with all this stuff? When we got to the top of Mount Democrat, this guy that was with us, Jeff, he started picking up these rocks. And he was like pulling his backpack down. He was like, "Do you want some?" I was like, we're going to hike another 14er. I don't want any rocks. And he's like, well, Connie, that's his wife, she likes a rock from the top of every mountain we go to. I'm like, well, you can carry that. And he was like getting these big, big rocks because apparently Connie likes to sit them around the house. And I was like, we're about to hike Mount Cameron and I'm not carrying anything with me. But he did. So one's from Democrat, one's from Cameron. The darker one's from Cameron. Look at this other kid we have. His backpack is so full. See what happened? And that's what happens to us when we get stuck in the past. We're carrying so much stuff around, we can't press onward and upward to that next mountain because we're letting the past hold us back. He's a pitiful looking thing, isn't he? With that. Yeah, that's no good. And so I have this quote that I came across from Lyndon B. Johnson. And listen to it, it's powerful. Yesterday is not ours to recover, but tomorrow is ours to win or lose. That's powerful. Yesterday is not ours to recover, but tomorrow is ours to win or lose. You see, remembering the past, it isn't a bad thing. It's much to do with who we are. But the thing is, we get stuck there and we can't get on, no matter what it is. Sometimes it's a good thing. We get stuck in, say, a former job we had, and we're like, well, that boss let me do this and that, and my benefits were so great, and blah, blah, blah. And we're so thinking that the past was so great that we can't move forward in our current circumstance. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how do we forget the past? How do we move on? And so our first step is, well, maybe it's a little touchy, I don't know. Here, we'll just say it. We're going to allow godly sorrow to lead you to true repentance. Allow godly sorrow to lead you to true repentance. See, what happens sometimes is we feel kind of bad about it, or we're like, oh, I'm sorry that happened, I wish it hadn't. But we don't really experience godly sorrow, which gives us true repentance. This verse that we're going to look at, it's another one that Paul wrote. And remember I told you that Paul didn't always believe in Jesus. Well, not only did he not believe in Jesus, he worked against it, and he persecuted those that did. In fact, even to the point where he participated in killing some of them. Now, that's a past. That's a past that's really hard to get over. You might even say that's the worst thing a person could do, is be a part of killing someone else. And so I think Paul has a lot to say to us here about how to let that godly sorrow help you. Look at 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 11. Your sorrow led you to repentance. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. How powerful is that? Godly sorrow will bring repentance that leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you? What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you have proved yourself to be innocent in this matter. Can you hear the forward speak? What earnestness, eagerness. He's moving forward. He doesn't want to look to the past. Here's the bottom line. True repentance brings freedom. True repentance brings freedom. Paul said this in Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. He's saying, don't put the backpack back on. Be free from it. Don't let it burden you. Don't let it weigh you down. With true repentance comes complete freedom. Yesterday when I was running, we rounded the corner on the lake and the sun was just coming up and it was so beautiful. And the girl next to me said, "Man, every day is a new day, a fresh start." And so I kind of saw it as an opportunity to say something about God. And I said, "You know what? That's what I love about God. It's that every day, it's a new day. It's a fresh opportunity to seize the future and not hold on to the past or get stuck in the past." So our second way that we can move on from the past is actually the sermon from week one. Now, I'm not going to re-say everything Pastor said. I'm just going to nutshell it. And that's that let bitterness die and forgiveness live. That's how you forget the past. So re-listen to that if you need to let it marinate. If you haven't heard it, listen to it again. It's on the website. So Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 4. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." You must forgive others. It's the only way to move on. If you don't forgive people that have done things to you in the past, you will be stuck there. And the third thing is, sometimes we just need to change our angle. We need to get a new perspective. We need to see our circumstances the way that God sees them. And sometimes we need to do that by just stopping and pausing and saying, "God, help me to see this the way you see it. Don't let this control me, God. I give it to you. Help me to see things from your angle, which is very different from mine." And the fourth thing is, you got to accept it. I know. We can't live in denial. It doesn't help. Just accept it. When we lived in Michigan, we learned this saying. Up there they say, "It is what it is." That's actually very freeing. When we planted this church, it really helped that they had taught us that saying, "It is what it is." Because early on, it was like, "Man, well, we had it so good back there. We had this, we had that, and now we have no people to help us, and we don't have very much money. I don't even have a stapler. I don't even have an office to put the stapler in," you know, and you're looking to the past. And then all of a sudden I was like, "No, it is what it is. We're going to move forward." So just accept your situation and say, "It is what it is. How can we move forward?" And then the fifth thing in this section is actually we're going to follow the advice of the most annoying Disney character to date, and we're going to let go. Yes, I think we have a picture of our sweet Anna Annie. Yeah, there she is. Luckily, the girls aren't toddlers, and so I don't have to listen to this song a lot, but one of our elders, James, his little girl, sings this and sings it a lot. But we need to capture what she's saying and let it go. You know, it's easy to say it, maybe harder to do it, but if we focus on it and we think about, "God, help us to let this go," eventually it'll go. Paul says again in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And this peace, it will guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus." And then in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, it says this, "Let your eyes look directly forward." Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and then all your ways will be sure. So in order to completely let go of the past, the first thing is we have to experience godly sorrow, which leads to true repentance and gives us freedom. And then the second thing is we have to let bitterness die and forgiveness grow. We have to forgive others. The third thing is we need to sometimes change our angle and look at things from God's perspective. Fourthly, sometimes we just need to accept it. It is what it is. And then finally, we need to let it go. So that's enough about the past. Let's talk for a minute about growing the future. See, there is actually hope for my plant. It'll die, but just work with me for a minute. I could take it home, and I could water it, which I probably will do, and feed it, but then I would probably ignore it. But if I did not, if I was faithful, and I watered it, and I fed it, you know what? It would grow. In fact, I think it would even bloom before winter got here, and it would be quite beautiful. And so there's hope for the future. We can feed our future. We can help our future grow. So let's look back at our original text from Paul for just a minute. He says, "But I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So the future is the most important part, not the past. You see, the past should be a launching pad for the future, not a landing place. So we must press on. God is calling us. He's drawing us upward. Let's see, what does he say in that verse? Forgetting what is behind and straining toward. Straining is a difficult word. So sometimes it's hard and it's difficult, but we have to push. We have to strain forward towards God. So how do we let the future grow? Well, first, it's a fairly obvious point, but it needs to be said, and that is keep your focus on God. We've got to keep our focus on Him. And so look at Hebrews 12:1, and again, this is Paul talking, and so he knows how difficult it is to press forward. 12 says, "Such a large crowd of witnesses is all around us, so we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially the sin that just won't let go. And we must be determined to run the race that is ahead of us. We must keep our eyes on Jesus, who leads us and makes our faith complete. He endured the shame of being nailed to the cross because he knew that later on, he would be glad. He knew the future would be better. He was glad he did. Now he's seated at the right side of God's throne." Now, I want to tell you, that was the English version, but I want to read it to you in Amplified, and I'll just read a little portion because I know the Amplified goes on and on. But it says, "Stripping off every unnecessary weight." So in order to get forward, we're going to strip off or get rid of, like the other one said, every unnecessary weight. There are some things we have to carry that are necessary, but we're going to get rid of the unnecessary baggage, and which so easily and cleverly entangles us. Boy, it is clever in how it entangles us. "Let us run with endurance and active persistence." There it is again, straining. It's active, it's persistence. "The race that is set before us, looking away from all that distracts us and focusing our eyes on Jesus." Now, you had to know today that I wasn't going to leave you without giving you a running illustration, because That's what I do. So we're going to talk a little bit about racing. Now, I don't race. I mean, yeah, I run a marathon, but I don't race it. So I do my best, right? But in a race, which way do you need to be looking? Forward. Now, did any of you run in high school? Yeah, well, Pastor was offered a scholarship in that, but not the rest of us. Okay, I ran a little bit in high school, a fair amount. And so I ran the back then it was the 880 because they did it in yards. We don't have to talk about that either. But that's twice around the track. So that was my main race. But sometimes the relay team needed somebody. And so I would join in and run, what is it, like 4x200. So I had to run a 200 leg. So the very first thing that the coach teaches you about passing the baton is, Keith, be my subject. We have missed you, young man. We love you and are very proud of you. Okay, he's going to hug me. How sweet. You're going to be in front of me, and I'm going to pass the baton to you. What is the most important thing for you?
To have the baton in my hand.
Okay, yeah, probably. What's the second most important thing? Do not look at me. You need to look forward. The coach would say, do not look. It's the person back here. It's their responsibility to pass it off. It's not your responsibility to make sure that they're coming. Haven't you been to the high school race? You know, some of them are doing this. We would get that if we looked back, except meaner and with a baton. And so what needs to happen? You need to look forward, and the racer need to look forward as well. I don't need to be looking back to see if somebody's catching up with me. I need to be looking at Keith and make sure I plant that firmly in his hand so that he can go. Fabulous. We won. Gold medal. Gold medal. Fabulous. And so we are going to move forward constantly. We're going to keep our focus on Jesus. And we're not going to worry about the past or the person that is behind us telling us about the past. We're going to move forward. I think I had, Yeah, you get it. Okay, and so the second way to move forward is, and these next few steps are just going to be practical, and we're going to move through them quickly if the band wants to go ahead and come up here. The second thing is, set goals and make plans. You need a goal. Set those goals. In a race, it's easy. We know where the finish line is at. Next week when Lana and I are in Chicago, we've already looked where the finish line's at. I figured out how hard it was going to be to walk from the hotel to the hotel from the finish line because it could be a crawling situation. But we know where the finish line's at. We know what our goal is. Set goals and make plans. And then the third thing is execute those plans. Man, sometimes that's the hardest part. We'll sit in the coffee shop and write the goals down and some plans, but then we've got to execute them. We need to make someday today. Instead of going, well, someday I'm gonna do this, someday, I've got some bad ones, but I'll tell my father-in-law. He has told me for the last 25 years that someday he's going to speak Spanish. If he would have started Rosetta Stone back then, he would be like fluent now. He would be awesome. Make someday today. And then the fourth thing is surround yourself with people and things that push you forward. People that cheer you on. People that are pushing you, encouraging you to move forward. So this morning, I want to close with this thought. In Hebrews, Paul says this in chapter 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's a verse we probably have heard a lot if you've been in church any time. But hope is the future. Hope isn't the past. And so once you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, your hope is the future. And you know what? Our future is in Jesus. Our hope is Jesus. And yes, I told you to set some goals. Maybe you want to learn Spanish. Maybe you want to run, and you probably don't want to run a marathon, but you might want to set some goals, and all those things are good. And we need to move forward and focus on the future in our lives and moving forward. But ultimately, we're moving forward to Jesus. We're moving upward to Him. You see, He is our preferred future. And He's not back here. He's future. He's calling us heavenward. And so this morning, I particularly asked the guys to do this song again, that our hope, it's in Jesus. And so today, I'm just going to ask you if we could stand to our feet and just maybe spend a little bit more time in worship and think about our future. And letting go of the past. Maybe there are things that are tying you down, weighing you down, and you need for Jesus to help you just to get over it, to move on, to let it go, to maybe even forgive something. And so as we sing this song, Keith and Denise are going to have the prayer room open. Jeremy's going to be over here as well, and several others. If you need prayer, you can go into the prayer room during this time, or you can just stay at your seat and just worship God and say, please, Lord, take it. Take all of it, because I want to focus on You. Father, this morning, Lord, we give ourselves to You, Jesus, and we focus on You as our preferred future. We thank You, Jesus, that You are our hope.